Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC, host of Revive. We are back on this winning Wednesday here on Revive. Make sure you guys stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned, and definitely spread the word that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go to TuneIn. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl POC every winning Wednesday here on Revive, as well as Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned and spread the word, and make sure you guys are following us on Facebook and Twitter and now Instagram. Y'all, we got an Instagram. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC. We are live tweeting and live posting throughout the entire show, so make sure you guys stay tuned. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you want us to hear your opinion, perspective, and you want us to read it loud on air, definitely give us a tweet, give us a call, 215-490-9832. But if you hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, we will definitely read your post loud on air. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. I have both Harmony the Goddess and True Heart in the building with me as always here on Revive, holding it down with the Revive team, man. Yo, True Heart, how you feeling today?
I feel amazing. It's a winning Wednesday. I feel magnificent, and I'm ready to just crush the rest of the week.
Oh, crush the rest of the week? What you got lined up for the rest of the week? You talking about crushing it. How was school today? Let's talk about school. How was school today for you?
School is going great, guys. It's going great. It's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I be in class like, what in the world did I sign up for? Lord Jesus, Buddha, Allah, like, everybody help me. I just like, because my syllabus alone was 30 pages. And the fact that I have 60 pages of reading for homework, it's a lot, y'all. But I got the end goal in mind. I'm keeping the main thing. And I'm just ready to just plow through this first semester and just get it. I got three years to go.
I'm with you. And you definitely stronger than me because I ain't ready for school. I thought I was going to be ready to go back, man. But yeah, it ain't for me. It ain't for me. I got to go. I got to, like, take my time. I'm not even a semester at a time. I'm the type that got to take a class at a time. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I got to take it class by class in order for me to be like, all right, boom, I'm ready to sit down and get this whole school thing done. Because school takes up a lot of your time. Like, you really be in class for 3 to 4 hours, especially in graduate school, because you have school, you know, every other day or just on the weekends or online. So it takes up about 2 to 3 hours every time you go to class. It's not like a 45-minute class. You in and out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get a quick homework assignment and it's due the next week. No. That thing doing 48 hours. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really get with the graduate school right now. I got to take it class by class. But I'm not throwing any shade. Shout out to the entire class of 2021 who stepped up to the plate this year and started school this past fall, this past August. We had an entire episode on it. So I'm definitely, you know, giving you guys some props and some praise. And I hope you guys graduate and finish to the end. Finish strong, definitely. And shout out to all them African-American women out there, because we are the, what, largest population of educated people right now in America. So I'm definitely going to give ourselves a shout out. And I'm definitely shouting out, what, Venus and Sloan, for that U.S. Open they going to, you know what I'm saying? Two black women in the U.S. Open this year, shout out. And they not sisters. They are sisters, you know what I'm saying? But they not biological sisters. So I'm giving a huge shout out because the Williams sisters when it's in it the entire time. So I'm extremely excited for that. That's huge for me to know that we are going to have. And Madison Keys as well. Madison Keys is also going. Thank you for the plug. I see you with the Google. So, yes, Madison Keys is also going to the U.S. Open semifinals. So I'm really excited excited about that because, you know, we need to be representing. We were just talking about this on Monday, how that population is not oversaturated. So now we got three women in there right now. So that's extremely amazing to know that we are making noise in tennis. We're making noise in tennis. We're doing what we're supposed to do to get them checks cut. Once again, I'm going to remind you, $3.7 million. You know what I'm saying? So that's extremely exciting. So shout out to all three of them. And I hope they win. I hope it's down to them three in the end.
Sloane already showed us what she has. So it's just amazing to see. Venus is 37 years old and Sloane is 24. So she had to grow up. She had to grow up watching her. And Madison is 22. So you talk about representation is key. Sloane probably didn't even think that she can do it if she didn't see Serena and Venus crushing the court. So representation is important. And if you guys are playing anything outside of basketball or football, no shade to ball. Ball is life. But there's more sports out there. And get that shmoney.
And then just to piggyback on that, Serena just had her baby, dropping a baby picture. She, and the crazy part is, yo, she wasn't even shady like the rest of them. You know, they try to wait till the baby about 10 years old on their way to prom and then going to show us some pictures. Serena dropped the baby pictures like, yo, this is my newborn baby. And it was lovely, a pretty, 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 pretty baby. So I'm really excited for all of them, definitely. And Serena was like, and also somebody had a great caption on social media. They was like, Serena sat down to have a baby and Sloane just picked it right back up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was never a gap. Like, oh, we about to take the year off. We about to take the day off. Nah, I'm just going to pass the torch to my little homie and she going to pick it right back up. And that's exactly what she did. And she already had the pep talk with her sister. Like, you better not let this little girl come on here and school you. She like, I got you. So that's why they both going to the U.S. Semifinals. So I'm really excited for that. Definitely, definitely really excited for that. But today is September 13, 2017. And today, 21 years ago, Tupac Shakur passed away. So I'm dedicating every single commercial today to my man, my homie. I wish I had the opportunity of interviewing him, just being in the room with him and, you know, embracing his personality and everything, his spirit, his energy, all that. I really wish that I had that opportunity to do that. But yes, today I'm dedicating every commercial break to Tupac Shakur today. Definitely. I'm going to make sure that I drop some gems for you because he definitely dropped some gems for us. And I want to make sure that we put that out there every chance we get here on Revive because we want to educate and re-educate the people every time we get on the airwaves because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring back the community through the unity of communication. I kind of messed that up. Definitely. We want to bring back unity. I got to bring it back. You're right. We trying to bring back unity through the power of communication, and we're going to put that back into our communities each and every day. And that's what we're trying to do here on Revive. So make sure you guys stay tuned. But today's show is also entitled Creating Your Creation. So we have some really dope guests coming on today, and they're just going to talk about how they make their creations come to life, how they, you know, think of things, their artists, how they manifest different thoughts, and how they just make it come to life, how they create their creations. So they're going to be coming on and just explaining to us how really, truly, how artists just work and how artists make things come to life after they think about it and how after they see it in their mind and how we can actually adapt to it once they put it out for us to see it. So we're definitely going to have a great conversation with a couple dope artists today here on Revive. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We're also going to be talking with DC Murals as well. We're also going to be talking with Murals DC as well today. And they're just going to be talking to us about the different murals that we see around District of Columbia. And I'm from D.C., so I'm really excited to be speaking with them today because every time I'm in the streets, you know, I go down Ben's Chili Bowl or I go to U Street or A Street, I see so many different murals. And I'm like, how did they get the concept? Where did this come from? Where is this idea coming from? Who allowed them to go and paint the side of the building? You know what I'm saying? And I finally got the connect to understand how it works. And once I got that connect, I'm like, yo, we got to bring them on the show. So I'm extremely excited to have them on the show so they can break down how those murals, those beautiful, beautiful murals go up in the city of Washington, D.C. I think that's going to be an amazing conversation. I think that we all can learn something from it, too, because just like, you know, we're in the city of Philadelphia right now. And one thing that Philadelphia is known for is their murals. You know, I love riding my bike around the city here because you never know what you're going to see on the side of a building in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that sticks out to me. And I know it sticks out to a lot of tourists here, in the city of Philadelphia, because you don't really see that everywhere you go. Joe Truar, you grew up in Philly. How do you like the murals? And, you know, does it have any, you know, meaning to you?
I love the murals in Philadelphia, and I love, like, the hidden gems. Like, you can just be walking down the street to the store, and you see this magnificent mural. And my first question is, how did they get all the way up there? Like, I know that they have the scaffold, but how did y'all get up there? In the time that it takes to do a mural, it looks like they're just putting them up left and right, and they turn out so beautiful. And I don't think that they're as appreciated as they should be. I don't think that the mural arts program is funded as much as it should be. And this is a great opportunity for children to get involved. This is a great opportunity for even children, teenagers, adults to just have an outlet. You're not really that stressed when you're painting. If anything, it's a creative outlet, so you can reduce stress, you can reduce anxiety, and just add some happiness and colorfulness to your life. So I love the murals in Philly. I love murals actually anywhere, though. It's just really dope that you can just, you know what, this building is mine, and I'm going to make it my own and be creative with it. I love it.
I definitely love the concept behind murals as well. But how are you going to tell them people they're not stressed out? They are stressed. You know what I'm saying? That's their outlet. And that's why they are painting, or that's why they're creating, because that's the way they are able to get their stress off.
That's what I was saying. I think you might need to clean your ears a little bit. That's what I was saying. It's a good coping skill. It's a good coping skill. If you're stressed, just go paint something. If you're stressed, go breathe. Like, be mindful of what you're thinking.
You sound like a commercial.
About.
All right. I get what you're saying now. At first,
everybody else heard me. You right in the studio. You just in your own little word.
No, okay. I was just saying that I think that, you know, 9 times out of 10, when people find an outlet, they find an outlet because they are stressed. You're saying that you're not stressed, so you should be able to go paint. I mean, like, you can just go paint. Other way around. Okay, maybe I interpret that wrong. I apologize. But yes, to get it back to the show, we are going to be speaking with some really dope artists today. And I'm really excited to be speaking with Murals DC, because I love my home. I love my city. And now I'm going to figure out and understand how these people are getting these beautiful murals up on the wall next to Ben's Chili Bowl and down A Street and down U Street. And if you're from the city right now, make sure you spread the word, spread the message, so everyone in the city right now can know how these murals get up. And if you are an artist yourself, you would definitely be able to listen in, get the contact information, because I'm going to make sure that the representative says their contact information for us to get. And if you are an artist, you know, go ahead and hit them up. You never know. You may be the next artist on that, you know, on being able to paint alongside of a bar, being painted alongside of a wall or an actual building or something. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but definitely. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Also, subscribe to that beautiful newsletter that Harmony to God has put out today. Today we released the newsletter, so make sure you guys subscribe. If you do not know how to subscribe, go to timeforanawakening.com/revive right now. Scroll down right under that big blue button. You click to hear me each and every winning Wednesday. Scroll down. It's a subscribe button right there. As soon as you hit that subscribe button, it's a link that's going to take you directly where you can sign up for that newsletter. Sign up right now so you can stay in the loop, so you can stay, you know, in tune to what's going on here in Revive. Any media coverage, any interviews, anything that we're doing per the month, the previous month, you will be able to get that information. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that newsletter. It just dropped today, so you're getting the September newsletter right now. So make sure you guys sign up. She put so much work in there. So shout out to Harmony the Goddess for putting that together for us each and every month. Yes. But we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after our quick commercial break, we will be speaking with our first guest, and they're coming out of the West Coast, man. I love talking to West Coast people, man. So they're coming from Richmond, California, and they're also going to be talking about murals as well. But they actually have a festival that they do every year. This will be their second year, but they have a festival that they put on in the city of Richmond, California, to just allow people to create their creations with murals and different art and things of that nature. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Thank you.
I saw Pac 20 minutes before he got shot. I saw Pac in Vegas about to get into the car. He's coming out the hotel. And we walked off, and we got in the cab, and they got into Bentleys and all that other stuff. And, you know, we went on to another party, and 20 minutes later, we heard Pac got shot.
I was at Warren G's house. In the living room. I think we was playing a video game, and we kept getting a whole bunch of calls and pages. Somebody told us to turn on the news, and we turned the news on, and we seen the little shit.
I remember calling a Faye and saying, Faye, do I need to get on a plane right now? She said, Jada, he's going to be okay. You get here when you can.
I drove down there to the hospital because I wanted to see my nigga, you know what I'm saying, make sure he was straight. I'm thinking that he was going to make it.
It was Pac. He'd been shot before. Fine.
Our first reaction was, again? You know what I mean? And then he was like, oh, he going to be all right because, you know, this is after he got shot 5 times.
He was like a cat with like 9 lives.
I had went to see him when he was still alive. And I said a little prayer to him in his head and held his hand and whispered at him, you know, said my peace with him. You know, he didn't have no consciousness, but I felt like my spirit and his spirit connected, and I felt like he got it.
When I heard that Tupac died, I was cooking in a restaurant. It was a sports bar, so there was a big TV screen, and we all just kind of watched it just like, you know, just dazed.
My mother knocks on the hotel door. Will opens the door. Soon as I see her face, I knew he was gone.
I cried like my mother cried when Marvin Gaye died.
A lot of people that worked at the job that I worked at didn't understand Tupac or didn't understand the music, so we're looking at us like, what's wrong? What's the big deal? Get over it. And it's like, nah, this is a really fucked up day. For the longest, I think anybody who has something to do with hip hop and loved the music it was a sense of mourning for a long time.
Could it be my destiny to be lonely and checking 40s inches that be on me cause they phony?
Man, it is hot today. Whoa, it's hot out here, man. It is hot today.
Yes, yes, and we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Wake up, wake up, wake up, man. I need you guys to give me some calls. 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Here, meet your girl, POC, every winning Wednesday. Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., you guys. I'm on your airways for the next 2 hours. Call me. Give me a call. Give me a call. Speak to me. I want to talk to you out there each and every time I go on these airways. But Trueheart, we do have our next guest coming up on Revive. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them, man. I love West Coast people. It's something about the West Coast that just drives me crazy. So I know we're about to have a great organic conversation with these people coming out of Richmond, California. I'm really excited. Yo, Trueheart, who's coming up next?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Sarah Siskin. Sarah Siskin is from the BAM Fest. BAM Fest 2017 is actually hosting their second annual Bay Area Mural Festival to bring together 10 master muralists and 2 East Bay youth groups through a series of artistic residencies and workshops, culminating in the painting of 10 environmentally themed murals in Richmond, California. BAM Fest 2017 uses mural arts to engage East Bay youth, local Bay Area artists, and the Richmond community through beautification and placemaking activities. The festival will produce 8 professional murals and 2 youth design murals to call attention to issues of environmental degradation, pollution, and climate change. Welcome, Sarah Siskin, to the Revive platform.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Good to be here.
Yes, I'm extremely excited to be speaking with you today. One, because I love the West Coast, and 2, what you guys are doing is amazing. And it's something that, you don't really hear about unless you go looking for it. So I'm really excited to be speaking with you guys, because we definitely went looking for you guys because we heard that you guys had a festival. Could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you and then get into the festival?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for reaching out, too. It's always good to get new ears on what we're doing out here. I'm Sarah Siskin. I'm the director of this project. We started this up last year. And I guess you guys are from the East Coast, so maybe you don't know like some of the local organizations I'm working with, but one of them is La Peña Cultural Center, who's focused a lot more on performance and music-based projects in the Bay Area. And I'm a local resident muralist with them, and decided to start this project with one of their ex-directors there and get this project rolling, in the sense that, like, we're bringing together different master muralists from around the Bay Area using all of our local talent, and then just creating more employment projects for them, but also dragging the community in, creating a safe space for them to all talk about murals and see what goes into making a mural, and to get them to, you know, give them a platform to talk about what's going on and why murals, why public art, because it's definitely a very specific niche in the art world. A lot of these artists are giving their lives towards public art, and it's a very specific, hard path. You have 1,000 people that will say no and fight against you. So we're trying to create those opportunities because it is such a special thing. It's so hard to make it in as a muralist, but we have so much talent here. So we're trying to honor all of those artists and also connect the local community, youth, into that project. So yeah.
That's an amazing project, honestly, truly. And that's why we wanted you guys to come onto the show, so we can spread that word, you know, so you guys can now have people traveling to that festival. Cause that's huge. And, how did you actually get started with BAM?
So I'm a muralist myself. I used to live down in South America in Chile, where they actually have a really big mural community. Mm-hmm. And they started doing, well, they've been doing them for years, but I kind of became friendly with a certain group of muralists down there that would create these different festivals and invite their friends from all over South America. They'd have these little reunions, sort of, these what they call meetings or encuentros of muralists. So I was lucky enough to be able to participate in some of those events, which was so special because it really is like a residency in the end. You just pull artists in to come to one space and create together. Artists that might not have anything in common, sometimes you do. Sometimes there are friendships that are, you know, 20 years in the making, and sometimes there's a lot of new connections. So it's a really cool idea. For me, I met so many new, amazing, talented muralists. So that was one of the most special activities that I got to participate in as an artist, and I wanted to be able to bring that concept back to where I'm from, which is the Bay Area, and be able to give that opportunity to other artists here and say, look, this is a platform for you. Come together, talk, you know, talk about what you're doing and techniques. We want to, you know, we want for everyone to be able to see each other's work and how it's coming about, and also just have those conversations. So that was really what the project came from, the idea.
That's awesome.
I have a whole team of artists working with me on the organization of the project, because this is an artist-run project for artists. It's not run by any organization besides us. We're trying to start slowly but surely start our own organization, but we're really just like a collective of artists that came together to do this project. So
I love the idea. Trust me when I tell you, I love the idea. And I have a question, because you called yourself a muralist. Is a muralist someone different than an artist? Like, are you separating yourself, or are you just, you know, making yourself stand out a little bit more by saying a muralist? Is there a difference between the two? I never heard that before.
Yeah, well, so you're saying you're a muralist really just means that your art is based in mural arts, which is public art. It is painting on a building, it's inside a building, whatever platform you have to do that. And that can mean different things to different artists, too. Like, some people identify as mural artists because that's what they are primarily trying to do. Other people don't identify as mural artists if they don't paint murals. Some people identify as street artists, some identify as graffiti writers.
Sarah, you're kind of breaking up just a little bit. We couldn't hear the last part.
Oh, so it just depends on how you identify as an artist. Like, there are a lot of people that will call themselves street artists, which might mean that they use aerosol spray paint, but they do it legally. A lot of people will consider themselves graffiti artists, meaning that generally they use spray paint but might do a lot of their projects illegally or without permission. So, yeah, it's kind of like everyone has their own identification with those that words and how they relate to their art. But
so, but at the end of the day, though, you guys, like, not you guys, but when, you know, artists come together, you know, whether you're a graffiti artist, a muralist, you know, someone who does aerosol paint or anything like that, do you guys, you know, come together and say we are all artists, or there are different groups when it comes to these different kind of artists?
Yeah, no, totally. So for us, this project is all about making room for people that are doing public art. So for us, it's really muralism. Muralism generally combines like social justice themes or some sort of subject matter into the theme. It's not, I mean, we have a lot of like new street artists that are doing amazing, beautiful paintings that might paint like geometric shapes. And we have tended to use and work with more mural artists that are have like, you know, have a social justice message behind what it is that they're painting. The people that have a message for their community, they want to empower the people around them and use those spaces and buildings in the historical context of those sites that they're working on to create something for the people that are going to be using the spaces. Because in the end, it's oftentimes the muralists aren't the ones that are using those spaces every day. They come, they paint, and they leave, or they go home. Or but if you're painting outside of a school, you need to take into consideration that all of those students are going to be going to class every day. What would be an empowering message for them? So we're working with artists that really take into consideration the community needs and ideas and social context as well.
Awesome. So how did the first year at BAM, Bay Area Mural Festival, how did that go for the first year? Because you guys are back for the second year, but was it something that the audience asked for, or was it something that the artist asked for?
Yeah, well, both actually. So last year was really a trial run, especially for me running the project, because it's a very demanding thing to organize. But we luckily got the same grant again. Last year, it turned out to be, we did it in South Berkeley. I don't know if you guys are oriented with the different cities down in the Bay Area, but we did it in South Berkeley along the Oakland-Berkeley border. And then we actually had a lot of people from Richmond reach out to us saying, hey, we love this project. Like, you should come do it in Richmond. And originally the idea for us was we didn't want to do this in the same community every year. We don't want for it to be a stagnant project. We want for it to move around and benefit different communities. So for us, we were already looking for, okay, well, where are we going to do this next year? And this community reached out to us and said, hey, we really want this to happen here.
That's awesome. You know, when people start, you know, feeling
artists,
you.
Yeah. I mean, luckily the artists all had a very positive experience working with us as well. A lot of them asked if they could paint again this year. We are actually using all different artists this year.
How do you guys
need to be? Sorry?
I was saying, how do you guys narrow it down to just eight artists? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure a lot of people submitted work and things of that nature. So how did you guys narrow it down?
A lot of really talented artists submit work. Last year we did mostly, we invited all the participants, all of the artists to come paint. And this year I wanted to make it more of an open process so that I could include everyone that I don't know, all those artists that are out there that might want to participate in this project, to give them an opportunity to say, hey, this is what I'm doing and I want to paint with you. And so we looked through so many different applications from people all over the Bay Area, some international. We really narrowed it down based on artists that have demonstrated community participation in the past.
Awesome.
People that are, that means, you know, they're involved in some community in the Bay Area. It doesn't have to be Richmond, because we have some artists coming from Oakland, San Francisco, all over the place. But the awesome. Fact that they know how to work with communities and that's important to them. And then based on their portfolios, like what we've seen and liked. And so that's kind of how we made our decisions this year. It's
awesome.
A very different lineup than last year, which is exciting because it feels like it's new. And I'm really excited about all the artists. We're going to be making our announcement either, I think, tomorrow about the artists that are participating.
Cool. So that means we got you right on time. So that's extremely exciting. So if you're from the Bay Area right now and you are listening, they will be announcing it tomorrow, right?
Yep, that's us. Tomorrow we're going to be announcing all the artists that are going to be painting in 2017 Richmond Bay Area Mural Festival.
Awesome, awesome. And by you being a muralist yourself, is there any way that, you know, you can join in, you can submit your own information, or you just automatically count yourself out?
Oh, this week is a little too intense for me to actually participate. So I'm viewing my participation as the organizer.
Awesome.
So I won't be painting, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what everyone else is going to put in. So
awesome. And then also I have a question before I let you go today. And do you guys help the youth at all? You know, like young muralists that's coming up and things of that nature. What are you guys doing to help the youth who, you know, inspire to actually do a mural one day?
Yeah, that's a great question. So last year we worked with two different youth organizations. One was based in South Berkeley, one in Oakland. So we actually paid them stipends to help design murals and paint the murals. So we had them working with teaching professional muralists as well. We're doing the same thing this year. They're not all muralists. Some of them are just young people that live in the community, but we're doing projects with them. But it's also a good introduction as to, hey, this is, you know, if you're interested in actually doing public art, like, participate in this project, see what it's about, see all the steps that it takes. And I work with another mural arts organization in San Francisco, and a lot of times it's just like showing someone the ropes and saying, hey, you can do this, this is how you go about doing it, and, you know, sending them off into the world. And that's all they need sometimes to get motivated.
Definitely. And how can the people find, and I love what you guys are doing, trust me, and that's huge. I hope you guys, you know, as you say, you're trying to get your own organization, things like that. I hope one day that you get your own summer camp too. And, you know, you will be able to have the kids for the entire summer and just, you know, embody them and just have them, you know, growing up under your wing. Cause I know you are a great artist yourself. But how can the people find more information about you guys? If they want to purchase tickets, is the event free on next Saturday?
Oh, this is a completely free community event.
Awesome.
It's a week long festival that we're having the artists come paint. And then having a big, like, closing celebration at the Richmond Art Center on October 8th from 1 to 6 p.m. So that is a completely free event, family-friendly. We're going to have food. We're going to have live music. We're going to have vendors, dancers, everything. So it's going to be a place for everyone that uses the street as their platform for art to come together and do that in that space, while also celebrating the new murals that have been painted in the course of the week. We're going to have some live painting, give space to all the other young muralists in Richmond to come out and paint and just get everyone together and have fun. That's the idea of this celebration on the 8th of October. So, yeah.
That is really, really dope. And
yeah, I think you asked me how to get more information.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what's the website and things like that? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Is it our website at bamfest.org? That's BAMFEST.org. And you can have all of our updates and check out, you know, all of the new things that we're doing there.
That's awesome. And then last question, because this is something that we got off Twitter. Someone asked, is painting a mural something that is expensive? Because they said, they heard you said that you guys got a grant. So is that something that's expensive?
The execution of a mural, like the materials or...
Well, that was just a question that I read on Twitter that they asked. They said, can you ask, is painting a mural something that is expensive?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is relatively expensive considering the fact that it's a huge public art piece. A lot of the materials are more expensive because they have to be durable. Your paints are outside exposed to sun and pollution. So it's really worth putting in some money to invest in good materials so that the mural lasts longer. But also, muralists generally charge by square foot. I don't know if this question is coming from someone interested in hiring a muralist to paint in their space. But that's generally how we do it. Our project, we do stipends for the artist based on the entire project because every wall is a little bit different. So we're not doing it by square foot, but we're supplying all of the materials and all of the administration and scaffold, the things that go into the mural process, and just giving... setting it all up for the artists so they can come do their work and take out the headache of organizing the project themselves.
Thank you. That's awesome. I appreciate that. You just taught me something by saying that because I didn't know that they, you know, sometimes charge by square foot and things like that. So that is huge. And not to sound ignorant again, but I didn't know that it was different paint either that you would have to use too. So that's something that's huge. So thank you for that gem you just gave me. And I appreciate you also coming onto the Revive platform today and spreading this message for the listening audience. And I'm sure they're going to be able to connect with you and definitely reach out with you to go forward and hope there's a year three and Revive will be there doing some media coverage because I'm extremely excited for you guys. Definitely. Yes.
Definitely. Thank you so much for reaching out. It was nice to talk to you.
No doubt. No doubt. And I hope you have a great week and good luck next week with your whole event next week. I think it's going to be amazing. BAM Fest is going to be huge.
Yeah, definitely. We're having a fundraiser. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, the fundraiser next week. Yeah, yes, exactly. But the event doesn't start until October 2nd, though, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay. So the 2nd through the 8th. So it's the first week of October in there.
Awesome. And I thank you for that. And we're going to go ahead and put you on our social media, too, so people can, you know, get some information. We have your website up as well. And I thank you for coming onto the Revive platform. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that wraps up another great interview here on Revive, man. That was very, very interesting. I never really spoke with someone who was a muralist, or I never really understood it. And that's why I wanted to have this show, you know, Creating Your Creations, because there's so much going on out here that you don't know unless you go find it or unless you go looking for it. And this is one thing that I did. I'm like a research journalist. Like, I go looking for things that we may not know because I want to educate you guys on the little things, you know, things that we have things that we have questioned before, but we never really got the answer that we was looking for. And especially me, because like I said, I ride through the city of Philly all the time and I see the different murals on the wall. And I'm like, how do people get the opportunity to actually go up there and paint these buildings? Or how are they getting the money? How are they getting the equipment? And she just gave me the gem. 9 times out of 10, they're getting a stipend to do so because of the paint and the materials and everything that you have to use. So I think that that's really, really huge. But we are going to go to a quick commercial break, and right at this commercial break we'll be talking to our next guest, who's actually a photographer who's been doing some huge things. And we actually met him that day we went to Soul School 2017, so that was really big. We made some connections. So when I tell you, making your network your net worth is the thing to do. It's a must. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. We're not here talking for no reason, you guys. We're not here talking for no reason. But yes, we're going to a quick commercial break. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. And we are back on Revive. Yes, yes, it's me, your girl, POC. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timefrontawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timefrontawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn, download the app, or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you hit Meet Your Girl, POC, each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You hear me talking about the a.m. because I'm trying to keep you guys up from the a.m. to the p.m. every time I get on these airwaves, man. I'm extremely excited. Once again, today's show is entitled Creating Your Creation. Creating Your Creation. We just wrapped up a really great interview with some people out in the Bay Area who is putting on a mural festival this October, just giving artists an outlet to express themselves and to get things off their chest through artistry. You know what I mean? That's extremely amazing that people out there really care about the arts, because we got to keep the arts alive. And this next guest that we'll be speaking to is a photographer. We actually met him. His name is David White, aka David Blanco. I really love how he switched that up, definitely. But he's coming on to Revive today to tell us a little bit about what he does and his business. But we met him this past July at Soul School 2017, and it was extremely amazing to meet him because everything that he was doing, he had a lot of gear, he had a lot of different equipment, and just caught all of our eyes. And we was like, yo, we have to go speak to him, we got to network with him to see how he's able to build, you know. And he was actually doing photography for DJ Cool show, mad love to the Revive team. So that's how we also got in connection with David as well. So I'm extremely excited to be speaking with him tonight. Hey, David, how you doing? Welcome to the Revive platform.
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. How you feeling today?
I'm good. Me and my neighbor just finished a few swings at the golf range. So right now, my adrenaline is pumping. I'm ready.
Man, every time I talk to you, Dave, you on the course. I'm feeling it, man. I love that entrepreneurship right there when you have time to do something that you love. I know that feels amazing. Did you win or lose?
Actually, I played horribly today.
Okay.
We weren't on the greens. We were just at the driving range.
Okay, okay.
But they have like an interactive type of deal where you can, you know, eat, drink, and talk some stuff, you know.
Awesome. So that means you were just having some fun. That means you're ready to get on this radio show and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you have been able to, you know, been successful in everything that you have done in the past.
Well, I can tell you just like you recapped, meeting you at the Marsha Ambrosia concert. I would imagine she was the headliner. Yeah. And seeing what you guys were doing and meeting your camera girl, Harmony, you guys were great. And I was just like, well, you know, I do want to make sure I have a chance to, you know, speak to you all again. And we did link, and that, you know, made it the date. I initially was going to be in Myrtle Beach shooting, but with the hurricane on it. So because I couldn't get up to Philly with you all in person, you know, I still wanted to make sure that I called in, because this was something real good. I wanted to make sure, you know, we linked.
Definitely. And I believe in making your network your net worth. So I definitely appreciate you reaching out to us and also getting back to us when we reached, you know, out to you. So that's extremely amazing. Yeah. But go ahead and tell the people a little bit about what you do and how you started with photography.
I would say it all started 19. I graduated with 93 and 94, went to Morgan State. I was there a couple of years, transferred to Bowie State. And there I was going after digital imaging and fine arts. I didn't get into much photography. I was just basically learning graphic design. After graphic design, I wanted to learn photography. I didn't want to have to purchase images, and I didn't want to use the stuff that was on the internet if I didn't want to. So I got into photography probably around 2000, and just been tinkering around with it ever since. After that, I got into actual film, shooting, video. Then after that, I wanted to learn how to edit it because it's so expensive for editors. So that's kind of the course that I've been on. The reason why I was there, again, yeah, I was shooting for DJ Cool. and a lot of the different performances that he does, him, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. I do a lot of stuff with the DJs, DJ Diamond, EPMD's DJ. We have some things in the works now, a show coming up called DJ Salute. So I'll be sure to let you have the first on that once we finish development.
Yes, yes.
But that's something, yeah, that's something coming up. And DJ Cool, he's a part of it too. He's going to be in a lot of the segments. But just kind of bringing it back to the DJ, and that's where we're just getting footage. So you'll probably be seeing me a lot with a lot of the old school hip-hop acts, but definitely a lot of the DJs, because that's something that needs emphasis again, you know, where it all started, the essence of hip-hop.
And even though you said old school, DJ Cool still got it, man. He got on that stage that night and ripped it. You would never even guess. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He ripped it. He has so much energy. Cause you know, well, I'm not sure if we got there early, but we were there a little early. So, they had like local artists performing and they were just standing back and forth, you know, waving their hands, thinking people were supposed to agree with them. It don't work like that. You got to engage with the audience, man. DJ Cool got on there and was like, yo, if you with me, you know what I'm saying? And I was just feeling him.
Yeah,
and he was
energy every time.
Every
was,
time.
You know what I mean? Before all of the Little John stuff, all the energy DJs, he's been doing that since, you know, 80s.
So he really, really killed it. Yes, I will agree with you on that one. Definitely he really killed it that night. And also, so what would be one thing that you would recommend to someone who's just now getting into photography? I know you said that, you know, editing is very expensive, so you taught yourself how to do that. What is something else that you would recommend?
I'll keep it back on photography. What I learned was don't try to keep up with someone else's equipment because they may be shooting for a different purpose. What looks good isn't always good. You really have to figure out what type of shooting do you want to do. Then you find out the equipment that is specifically geared towards that specific avenue of photography. And if that is the case, then you find the most cost-effective ones when you're still learning. When you're actually able to turn over a dollar and you see that consistently can happen, then you'll see that there's a need to buy more expensive equipment that can do this, that, and the other, or last a little bit longer because you're in it. But you don't need to break your pockets trying to look like something and you're not even really getting the work that would even, you know, kind of vindicate you doing that. So that's the first advice, because I learned the hard way doing that.
We're learning the hard way, and trust me when I tell you, we got that same advice this past weekend in New York, because we went up to New York Fashion Week, and we were trying to make sure that we were able to get everything done. So we thinking that, you know, it's the equipment that's going to get it done, but it's really the person behind the equipment is that's going to get the job done. So that's something that we definitely learned, you know, this past weekend. So I appreciate that piece of advice, because I'm gonna take that one with me. Definitely.
So you were at New York Fashion Week, you say?
Yeah, we just wrapped it up on Sunday. We went up there this past weekend.
Oh, you see, you guys are on it. My other camera buddy, Marcus Bennett, he actually mentors me and gives me a lot of good information and camera gear when needed, because he just has so much. But he's been doing this probably 30 years now.
Awesome.
In the D.C. area. And he's the one that I do a lot of the destination and the celebrity photography with as well. But he was up there, and he had a chance to cover it. So I haven't had a chance to really take a look at all of the images yet, because I've still been going. But he told me that it was really nice. So that was good that you guys had a chance to cover that.
Yes, and we can definitely – Harmony took some pictures, too. That's who was actually doing the photography for us again. So she took some pictures. So I can definitely tell her to send you over some images, and, you know, maybe you guys can collab to see if she needs to work on anything and things like that. So I definitely can reach out to her and make sure that she sends you over some of the pictures that she sent that she took this past weekend. So that's definitely a good one for her. But I do have a question.
I'm pretty sure it'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. But I do have a question. So we were talking about creating your creation, right? So do you think that photography is art as well, or do you think that's separate from art?
Photography is art.
Why? Why do you say that, though?
I would say that because to me, art is any expression that one person has of what they're feeling that they can't have someone else actually see in their mind, so they have to put it out some sort of way. So whatever medium you choose, you can be an artist. If you're a musical artist, then you're an artist. If you're an artist in the sense of painting, then that's the type of artist you are. If you're a graphic artist and you're using a computer or a digital medium to put out your art, you're just not using a pen or a brush, or, you know what I mean? Even a photographer, yeah, because sometimes, a lot of the times when we capture silhouette images, or when we capture stuff where the sun is only hitting a certain type of way, playing with shadows and stuff like that, that's art. Because a lot of people try to paint stuff that's been captured by pictures. So I would have to say photography is art.
That is true. I love what you just said, because that was a good counter, because 9 out of 10 people are painting what they actually see from a photo. So that is definitely true, that it has to be art, because it would, right. You know, unless you just start thinking of things in your painting, but 9 out of 10, you're using that visual and then you're creating something different out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that photography is still something that's going to be relevant in the near future? Because you know how they have, the new iPhones, especially the iPhone 10. It has like a double camera and a front camera and everything like that. So do you think that photography is going to be something that's still useful in the near future because of handheld devices?
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. Until you start to see Hollywood take all of those $50,000 and $100,000 and $250,000 cameras on those rigs that they can sit on to look like tractors, and everyone sits on the set and has a cell phone in their hand, I'm going with photography. It's going to be here. The wave isn't that serious. Everyone does it from a consumer standpoint because everyone wants to be able to have that capability. And yeah, they are making a lot of phones that do a lot of stuff. And yes, they have made a lot of films that are strictly shot on a phone, but it's for a boutique purpose. No one is going out saying, all right, I got a budget of $2 million. I want to shoot this movie. And I'm not even going to raise an eyebrow if your entire set comes and all of you guys have cell phones. If I'm kicking out some bread like that, everybody in the gear and the team is coming to do whatever my project is, and all of you all have cell phones, it's a major problem. And I'm going to just leave it at that. So I'll just say, absolutely, photography is going to be here. And especially with the social media craze, that's all it is about a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So photography, to me, ain't going nowhere. Just like I told people, paper and ink is not going anywhere. Just because we do a lot of stuff on there, you still need that.
I agree with you, because I love a hard copy. I'm one that's like, nah, I'm not going green. Please send me mine in the mail right now. So I agree with you with the paper and the ink.
Yeah, sometimes you just do. I've never known a file cabinet to get a virus attack.
That is true. Ooh, good gem right there. I never heard that one before, but that definitely got me thinking. That's a good one right there. Definitely. And that was actually going to be my next question. You mentioned social media. Do you think that social media is, watering down the whole photography thing because you are able to just see everything right there on the screen? It doesn't necessarily have to be something that you're actually going out to go get. It's something that you can just click up on the internet and see now?
I'm going to say, because I'm a competitor and I can only speak for myself, it just makes us better. It's just more awesome content that we have to either tighten up on our workflow, importing it in after a job and hurrying up, getting it out, edited, and then getting it to whomever so that they can quickly beat that whole social media flow. Or, just saying that there's so much stuff and there's so many flooded different photographers out there, you don't have a choice but to be sharp. And that's something that, I welcome. I welcome competition. So someone else might be like, yeah, it definitely has saturated. It's horrible, blah, blah. Now, I tell you what I don't like. When I'm shooting a wedding and the whole congregation has their cell phones up, I don't like that.
That's
something that just gets on my nerves. So, yeah, cell phones, it shouldn't be everywhere. I understand, there's a camera on there, but it's a time and a place for everything. If you paid a professional to come in there and shoot, let him do his job and not have to dance around your silly cell phone. It's crooked anyway. You're probably not even taking it. I can go on that, but I like the competition aspect, so I'll take the positive route for that one.
No, I'm really with you on that one, though, because, by me doing different interviews, we go out to do different interviews, and I'm trying to do an interview, but they want to look at their camera, which is their phone, because they have a friend or someone taking, pictures from their phone. And I'm like, yo, but you need to focus in on my camera, because my camera is the one that's capturing their interview. And if you're over here looking, to the left or to the right when we do the interview, you're not going to be looking as if you're focused, because you're now smiling for your camera. So I definitely understand what you were saying when you talk about weddings, because you want everybody to be focusing on your camera, but everyone's focusing on the cell phones. So I definitely understand that, because I'm now starting to feel that, when it comes to the cell phones and things like that. So that was a great point as well.
Yeah.
But before we get onto the expansion, because you are more than just a photographer, you're someone who took photography into the whole nother level, but before we get into that, I want to ask you one more question. What does creativity mean to you?
It means someone being able to access whatever God-given talents they have to do whatever it is that they're passionate about and that they would do for free.
Yeah, I love what you said for free. That is exactly what, you know, you have to love. Once you love something, the money's going to come to you. You know, you can do, you're going to continuously do it until it just comes to you. So I definitely agree with you on that one. Thank you for that opinion. But can you get into telling us how you expanded? Because you also have like a clothing brand and everything that you're doing, because you did come on talking about the golf course, and that's where you're actually, you know, expanding to next, right?
That is correct. I'm doing creative direction for Villa Pier Life. And if you want to check that out, that's actually pier.life on Instagram and Villa Pier Life, three words, on Facebook. But it's a clothing brand, but I'm also kind of promoting a health, more of a worldly lifestyle, more accepting of others, of other cultures, different types of sports, different types of music, and also types of fashion. So right now I'm in a phase where I'm kind of just kind of taking it in. I'm doing some output, but right now everything is kind of boutique. I rested on actually launching here. I'm going to launch in California in 2018.
Awesome.
So right now I'm just doing that. But as far as Palm Villa Golf is the other line that I want to concentrate with the more, I guess, conservative pieces. But it's going to be geared towards the health and fitness, in the golf sports, doing football, soccer, and we'll also kind of tackle tennis a little bit. But right now, I'm just really on the golf aspect of it, because a lot of what's happening is I'm in that arena, so I'm kind of just going with what's making sense. But the Villa Pier Life brand, that's the more fun stuff, party, and I have some nice urban design stuff for the ladies as well as the gentlemen.
Awesome, man. I hear you say tennis. You better hurry up and grab Sloan, because before she get wrapped up, she out there making some noise and she looking for some sponsors. You see J.P. Morgan just sponsored her, so you better, you know, hurry up and get out there. Tell her to wear one of your skirts or something. She making noise out here. She's 24 years old, so she going to be around for some time. You know what I'm saying?
My cousin, Michael Ferguson, he is a PGA instructor. He is 24 years old as well.
Awesome.
Just recently graduated, and that's who I do a lot of the learning. I get a lot of my tips and stuff from, and he's actually the first Palm Villa Golf spokesmodel, and he'll be actually doing some instruction, because he does celebrity golf instruction as well. So that's funny that you said that. I don't have a young lady yet, but we got one guy already in position.
That's
huge. That would
huge.
Be my cousin, Michael Ferguson.
That's huge. And how do you typically come up with the designs for your clothing that you're now putting out for the people?
Most of it is just looking at what the mood is right now. I've done a lot of I guess you could say ghost designing. I've designed for some brands that you've seen, like urban designers, that are down here this way in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So I kind of knew what it is that, you know, as far as the structure. But as far as what I'm doing now, it's kind of like whatever's coming to me, what I'm feeling. I have stuff that I've always wanted to do years and years that just sat around in paper and folders that I never had a chance to actually peel open. And now I'm peeling open everything. It's all systems go. I'm not holding back on anything. It's all getting ready to be released. So it feels good to just be able to get that out. So a lot of it comes from just pent up stuff that I've been sitting around, just waiting for the time to actually do it. And that's where it's coming from. But people influence me, my environment always. I just put up a post today. A lot of my wise counsel comes from being outside. And when I'm outside, nature is the one who's,
I agree with
who's
you.
Doing the influence.
She so definitely got some influence
nature.
Now.
I would have to say nature, the universe, God, Most High. That is who is the actual influence. Everything else is just components of what trickles down to, you know what I mean, actually connect with you if you want to go there with it. But, yeah, I take from various pieces to try to formulate and distill stuff down. But I'm kind of all over the place, so I'm getting better at managing that.
Definitely. And Mother Nature, at this point, she's definitely, you know, making some influences around. You're going to be making a whole collection of rain boots in a minute, the way these floods and hurricanes keep popping up. You know what I mean? So we definitely got to stay tuned to the line just to see what you're dropping. And is it going to be anything that's geared to the millennial audience? Because you are talking to millennials right now. So is anything that is going to be geared to the millennial audience that we can be looking out for?
That's funny that you say that, because I actually am going to sculpt a children's line that is not the typical children's line where, okay, we're just doing a couple of designs so we can just get the kids out of the way. All right, let's get back to the adults. It's not going to be that. I'm going to approach the kids line with the same savviness and the rawness and the chic and the stylish looks that adults have. It's going to be age appropriate, but when you look at what your child has on, you'll be like, man, if they made that in my side, I would definitely wear that one. You know what I mean? I want to do it like definitely. That. So I want to approach it thoughtfully and have them really looking good. So I'm doing a specific children's line with, you know, all of the same stuff, but I'll make sure that I'm doing that focused heavy. But also with the children's, I want to do a youth program and sponsor some youth programs. And I actually spoke to the I believe that was the councilman that put the affair on that we were at.
Yes, Jordan Harris, state rep. He's a state rep, Jordan Harris, in the South Philly area.
Mr. Harris, he's the one I spoke with, and I told him I would sponsor one of the, it could either be an athletic thing, or it could either be just, you know, just an after-school program that has to do with education. Doesn't matter, but I would, you know.
I vote like for the after-school program.
Hey, that's better. Academics, that, yes. I, you know, I'm on that more, but. And he shook my hand and said, just call the office. And, you know, and I appreciated that. So those are the types of things that I'm doing as well. I want to be able to just, you know, have a twofold effect with it. Everything isn't just sales. But
I do have
pointed programs and designs for the children. And they definitely will not be left out with Villa Pure Life or Villa or Palm Villa Golf. Because I see a lot of youngsters where I come every day. They are hitting those balls pretty far, 75 and 80 yards, and they're not even blinking.
That's cool. Because I don't know nothing about golf. So to know that there are some young people out there that's, you know, going to the range, it means a lot. Because, you know, we need to diversify a lot of different other, you know, areas out here. So I think that that's cool that, you know, people are stepping up to go ahead and hit the range, because that's what we need.
I mean, and it's us out there, too. It's a lot more of us out there.
That's what we need. That's what I'm saying.
You wouldn't think, yeah.
Yeah, we absolutely. Need that. We got three African-American women going to the U.S. Semi-final open this year, and I'm really excited about that, because we haven't had that in years. We only know about Venus and Serena, you know? So to have two other women that's going, that's amazing. You know what I'm saying? And Serena's out there having a baby. She just dropped her baby. So to know that people can pick it right back up, even though, you know, the top of the top is not there, people can still pick up the tennis racket and make some noise. So that's huge.
That's true.
My last question before I let you go today is, does your clothing line reflect your photography at all? Can we see a little bit of both while we're looking at the clothes and while we're looking at your photography?
Now, do you mean in the aspect of a photo or image that I shot, I would put it to the fabric?
Well, yeah, like, you know how you see something as like a photographer, you got to have an eye for things. So you know how you just see things, and then that's when the lens just takes over and you shoot your shot. And then, you know, with clothing, you have to feel it. You know, you, like you say, it's a lot of things that influence you. It's a lot of things that inspire you to design. So you have to feel it. It's a feeling inside. So do they go hand in hand at times when you're creating and when you're shooting?
Okay, I'll answer it this way. Because I am a creative director and there are a multitude of things that I have to do, I will say yes, because the approach that I would have is whatever I shoot would be in the same vein of whatever the garment is that I'm doing the ad for. So I would try to make them one and the same. So if I'm doing... I'm doing jet ski wear, if I'm doing, you know, tops for ladies and some cute leggings for, just to have on a jet ski. And then maybe like a sun visor or something like that. And I just had all neon colors. Well, the ad or what I shoot, it's not going to be drip drab. It's not going to be smoky. It's not going to be gray. It's not going to be neutral tone. It's not going to be black. And it's not going to be a lot of browns. It's going to be a lot of blues. It's going to be whites. It's going to be a lot of popping colors that kind of go with the actual garment that I'm trying to sell. So from that perspective, I would shoot my ad campaign for all my still work to have the colors feel exactly like the garment that I'm trying to sell, to keep you in the vehicle of knowing that this is what I'm trying to put attention to, and this is what ultimately I want you to purchase. So the answer is yes, and you shoot, you know, coordinating the mood with the actual garment. So if you're good at doing that, a lot of people don't really have that much problem, you know, selling pretty good and, you know, creating a type of look that, you know, everyone can kind of gravitate to. When you're all over the place just because you want to do a certain process and it doesn't really go, or it's not germane to the fabric that you're using, or the time or the frame or the period, you can kind of lose people. You know what I mean? So to answer you again, the short answer, yes, but only because I'm a creative director do I approach it that way every time.
And I love your answer. I definitely love your answer because you broke it down for us to understand, you know, how, you know, when it comes to creating and then when it comes to shooting, that really means a lot. So how can the people find more information about you? How can they find your website and things like that, so they can get connected with you as well?
Currently, we're still building the website. I actually have the website. And if you want to just make a note, it's villapurelife.com. But right now, it's not published. We have it still under construction. Due to us moving stuff to California, a lot of stuff that was already up had to be kind of torn back down. But if you go to peer.life, that's peer.life on Instagram, that's the most current. I normally keep things current there. But also Facebook is going to be introducing introducing is a good word. I'll be introducing a lot of the different television shows, series that I'll be producing, which will actually be with Marcus Bennett, another photographer, again, that I'm working with. And his show is going to be called Where's Marcus? We have another one called Step and Repeat. It'll be a PR person that I'm working with. Her show is called The Faye Factor. Her name is Faye Heislett. So those types of things will be introduced through Facebook because that's awesome. I can give more time on the video. The intros, the teasers, and the trailers and stuff will all come through the Facebook. But for the most quick stuff, you know, the quick pictures and stuff, most current be coming through the IG. And right now, that's where I have it. I'm moving pragmatic on purpose. It's me. It's just me that's doing a whole lot of stuff. So until my team gets as large as it needs to be, things will move at this pace. But I like it because just like you're able to contact me directly, I'm not giving you the Hollywood stuff. You know, talk to this person and let's have a meeting about another meeting about some stuff that's not even happening till next week. I'm not into that. So anytime you call me, I'm direct, and I'm just basically a hard worker, and I just try to keep my word.
And that's why I had to continue to connect with you, because you kept your word. You say you were going to come on the show and show love, and that's exactly what you did. So I appreciate you.
Absolutely. I love what y'all are doing.
I appreciate that. Let's continue to stay connected and let's continue to build. I appreciate that. And I wish you many, 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 many blessings in your future endeavors. And I know that golf line is going to jump off, but don't forget about us ladies over here.
That's what I'm saying. I need the female fitness models and stuff. That you guys will not be discluded at all.
Definitely. And when I'm on that red carpet, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to look good. So make sure you guys, you know, support us here at Revive. And I appreciate you supporting us. And we will support you any kind of way that we can.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon. I'm just going to clear my schedule probably next week or so. And then see if I can get on up to Philly and chop it up with you guys.
No doubt. I hope you have a great week.
All right. You take it easy.
You too. And that wraps up another great interview here on Revive with Mr. David Blanco. Man, he's a really, really dope person, man. Make sure you guys go support his brand and everything that he's doing. He's killing it out here. He was someone who was able to take, you know, photography and just expand his brand into so many different ways. Now he has a clothing line coming out this 2018. So make sure you guys stay tuned to whatever he has going on. And make sure you guys follow him on all of the social media sites that he just laid out for you. If you go to our timeline on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you will will definitely be able to find that. Make sure you guys follow Revive underscore POC on all three, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, to stay in the loop and subscribe to that beautiful newsletter that Harmony just dropped for you guys today. The September newsletter is now available. Go to timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, timeforanawakening.com/revive. Scroll down to where you see a subscribe button. As soon as you see that subscribe button, just go ahead and click that link, and it's going to take you to where you can sign up for the Revive newsletter. Yo, Truer, how you feeling today? You over there in a cut, all chilling. Man, today's topic is create your creation. What kind of creation you over there making? What's up with the Truth series? If people haven't heard from you, how the Truth series going?
The Truth series is going well. Unfortunately, it is postponed right now due to the fact that I am in class from 9 to 5 on the weekends. So it's planning on being every other Sunday, but our Sundays got a little convoluted and inflicted. But the Truth series isn't off Revive. It is still in full effect. It's just a little break right now. But Higher Level Communication is still up and running. It is under construction, being very honest with the listening audience. It is under construction. But that just means I just have some new hot and heavy things coming your way very soon.
I'm with it. I can't wait, because I don't know neither. You know, we all going to find out at the same time. So I am definitely with it. So make sure you guys go support and definitely follow Higher Level Communication. HLC is alive. Make sure you guys follow. Make sure you guys follow Harmony the Goddess as well on Facebook at Harmony the Goddess, and then Harmony with Love on Twitter. And then make sure you guys follow Tyler Evenia as well on Instagram at Tyler Evenia. Man, we got a whole squad. David was just talking about the team. You know what I'm saying? We got a whole squad here at Revive. We just got the team on and popping. So make sure you guys stay in the loop and make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break. I'm going all Tupac, every commercial break, all commercial break. I'm celebrating the life of one of the greats, one of the gods himself, Tupac Shakur.
So he told me to watch my language. Fuck that.
I'll let you hear that. I live thug life, but let the money come with me. Cause they can never take the game from a young G. I'm getting money.
I mean, it was cool because I got a chance to speak to young black males all over the country about this new idea called thug life. Which is a new kind of black power.
Now when I say thug life, I mean that shit, because these white folks see us as thugs. I don't care what y'all think. I don't care if you think you a lawyer, if you a man, if you an African American, if you whatever the fuck you think you are. We thugs and niggas to these motherfuckers. You know? And until we own some shit, I'ma call it what like it is. How you gonna be a man and we starving?
Go ahead.
You know? And you can walk by 5 different houses, ain't a man in either one of them motherfuckers. How we gonna be a man? How we gonna be African Americans? We out here done. We thugs and we niggas until we set this shit right. Trust me when I tell you that shit.
Young black males out there identify with thug life, but I couldn't handle it. I could handle it, but not right away.
Mr. Shakur, can we get a comment from you?
Hell no. Thug life.
Thug life.
That's my comment.
What's that mean?
This is your
What did happen? Thug life.
Imagine you have 14,000 people ready to do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? When you have all over the country people waiting to hear what you want to do. All of a sudden, I got people in the penitentiary, big time OG criminals, calling me, telling me they want me to lead their movement. I mean, I'm gonna have a problem. We'll be right back. doing? Why you acting like that? In this hotel room, they have food every day. And I'm knocking on the door every day to eat. And they tell, and they open the door. Let me see the party. Let me see, like, them throwing salami all over the, I mean, just like throwing food around. They're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to, we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, ragging out the door. And after a year, you just like, you know what I'm saying, I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, the civil rights movement. We was asking. You know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. House full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness.
POC.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears.
Yes, yes, and we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now. We got 30 more minutes live on these airways with you guys. Once again, give me a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. And you guys who's listening right now, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month is the Winning Wednesday edition, where we give away free Revive gear during Tab Money's segment. When Tab Money comes on each and every time on Revive, we are giving away some free Revive gear, you guys. So do not waste your time. Call in. Soon as she gets on the mic, she's going to ask us one question. She's going to be a question of the day, and you guys have to be able to answer that question. If you answer that question correctly, we will then send you out some Revive gear, man. I know you guys see this Revive gear all over your timeline each and every day. We got some fly things coming down the pipeline. We also got some fly fall fashion. I'm like, yo, Tab, I'm in New York fashion. We call this Tab, like, yo, Tab, these lines is popping. We got to get right. We got to get right with the Revive and the Russell Brand gear this fall. And she's with it. So definitely stay tuned to what we have coming down the pipeline. Russell Brand. We have some flyness coming down. We have some flyness. So make sure you guys stay tuned. And if you subscribe to that newsletter, you will know how you can cop some Revive gear. So definitely go ahead and subscribe to that Revive newsletter. But once again, man, today makes the 21st year, that, you know, we are in when we lost the God himself, Tupac Shakur. And it was something that, you know, was tragic. It was something that was like a dramatic scene. It changed the lives of a lot of people around us. You know what I'm saying? Like, still to this day, it's been 21 years since, you know, he was murdered, and we still bring him up like if, you know, we seen him yesterday, you know, as if he was here yesterday. And then one thing that I didn't like in 2017 that they did is they dropped that All Eyes on Me movie, and I didn't really see it, but I saw like little clips of it. And from what I've seen, I just wasn't feeling it. You know, for the first Tupac movie to come out, it should have been a classic like The Temptations. You know what I'm saying? We can watch that Temptations. I stand in the rain all night. You know what I'm saying? One of those. That thing literally replays in our mind over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? Because we know the Temptation movie like the back of our hand. And I just don't think they did the same amount of justice to the Tupac Shakur movie. And everyone who was actually a close friend with him or, you know, was a colleague felt the same way. So for them who you know, the people who were close to him, not to feel like this movie is something that was very impactful, something, you know, that told his story, really, really, you know, rubbed me the wrong way. You know, because even Jada Pinkett, she went live on air and was like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling it. You guys don't trust it. I'm not feeling it. Trust me. If anyone knows Tupac, it will be me. Me and Pac were like this. You know what I'm saying? So if anybody can tell a story, it would, you know, somewhat be me. And they didn't even reach out to me. She even said that in an interview that they didn't reach out to her.
Yeah, that's wild. And even when you said The Temptations, I was thinking even about the New Edition, like the New Edition movie. They did so well producing that movie, and All Eyes on Me, I didn't see it, but from what I saw on social media, it was just a low budget film, and we have enough low budget films. So no more low budget films. 2017, 2018. Like, if you're going to do a bio of someone, make it good, make it right, and do their life justice. Like the Aaliyah movie, it was just honestly, these directors and these actresses and actors, they may be getting compensated, but if you're going to depict somebody's life on screen, make sure that it's worthy of watching. But RIP Tupac. We were just having a whole conversation about how he would literally change the dynamic. When he spoke, we listened. When he literally rapped, we were all ears, like all ears, trying to hear what he said. And a lot of things that he talks about in his speeches and in his raps are still relevant today. So I can just imagine what he even is up in heaven thinking. He's probably shaking his head like, that crap's still going on.
Definitely. And then you can't forget about his mom. You know what I mean? His mom was the educator of the educators. You know what I'm saying? So that's super, super. It's just something that truly rubbed me the wrong way. And let's just think about it. Like, with the NAA movie, that was crazy. You know, I think Straight Outta Compton. Yeah. So I think that was something that was crazy, because their movie brought in millions of dollars. I'm saying, because they had someone there to represent them. They had someone there to speak for them. They pretty much spoke for themselves. They picked out their cast. Like, Ice Cube's son was him. You know what I'm saying? So they were able to pick out the person who was going to play them. They were able to tell the people a little bit about them. They were able to tell people, you know, how they were moving and things like that back in the day, so they can actually get a better feel of who they were. So that's not something that I feel that they did with Tupac. I don't think that they reached out to the right people. They didn't even speak to his mom. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that this was in the works prior to a lot of different things happening. So that was something that really stood out to me when it came to the All Eyes on Me movie that they put out. And then the fact that we all can sit here and say, we didn't go see it or we didn't watch it. It's thousands of people like us that can literally say they didn't see it or they didn't watch it. So I think that's something that, you know, really didn't sit well with me, but I hope they make up for it. And I hope someone else goes after that and actually tackles on that movie, because that story does need to be told and needs to be told in the right way, because Tupac Shakur was an icon and super icon to us growing up in the 90s and the early 80s. So definitely stay tuned to Revive, because we are coming up with our next guest. We'll be talking to Murals DC. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them because that is my hometown. And like I was telling you guys earlier, like when I go past Ben's Chili Bowl or U Street or A Street or anything of that nature, and I see these murals up on the buildings, I'm like, how did they do that? You know, who are these artists, and you know, where did they get the money to get this done and things of that nature? We're about to get our answer right now here on Revive. Hey, Trua, who do we have coming up on the Revive platform?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Nancy Lyons. Nancy is a spokesperson for the Department of Public Works in Washington, D.C. As part of the agency's graffiti prevention efforts, she coordinates Murals DC and works with local, national, and international artists to paint original works of art on district walls riddled with graffiti. Nancy Lyons, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you. How are you this evening?
We're great. I'm extremely excited to be talking with you today. I thank you for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us today. And just bringing the wealth of knowledge that I know for a fact that you're going to bring to the listening audience.
Oh, well, I look forward to the conversation.
Awesome. And can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with DC Murals?
Well, the program it's Murals DC, because there actually is a separate program called DC Murals.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And, Murals DC is an offshoot or just one of the many ways that our agency, the Department of Public Works, tries to keep the city clean. So a lot of cities find that they struggle with keeping buildings clean from graffiti, and a lot of cities have attempted to fight that by hiring artists to paint murals on buildings. And typically, they will try to use the graffiti style just to sort of, you know, respect the graffiti culture. And so we've been doing that. Our program is 10 years old this year. And in 10 years, we've done about 65 murals.
You guys have done a lot.
Yeah, it's just part of what we do to keep the city clean. And just as a public affairs specialist for the agency, somehow it fell on me. You know, my former director knew that I had an interest in art, and somehow it just sort of fell on my plate.
That's amazing, because I really love what you guys are doing. It's something, you know, because for me, I grew up in the city of Washington, D.C. So me growing up and seeing all the different murals that's going around, and to know, you know, now speaking with you of how they're, you know, how they actually get up on the buildings is amazing. And one thing that you did mention was graffiti, right? So how would you define the difference between graffiti and mural art?
So typically, I mean, we define graffiti as that which you spray paint or write on a building that you do without permission. So that's the same thing as vandalism. I mean, you can talk about the graffiti art style, but if someone calls in and they say, I have graffiti on my building, that's usually something that's unwanted. Street art and the mural art style, I mean, those are things that you have murals that people are commissioned to paint. In our case, we provide grants for artists who apply to the program and who are experienced working as outdoor muralists. You know, you also have a lot of street artists who will paint more than just a tag, which is a name, and yeah, you know, they may paint images, and that's kind of a street art that you might refer to that as street art, and they may do it with or without permission. A lot of building owners particularly if they're not really occupying the building, they are allowing street artists to sort of providing them with a space where they can basically put up whatever they want. It's and that's more of an unstructured type of deal where you might see a developer give a group of artists just a building or a section of a building, or especially if it's maybe a building that they're going to tear the building down eventually, and they may just give a group of artists the building and say, you know, just do whatever, you know, put up whatever you want. And it may be the traditional graffiti style block lettering. It might be images or just whatever have you. Our program is more of a structured program where we bring on artists. We get owners to donate their walls, and then we allow the artists and the owners to sort of talk about design concepts that the owner may have in mind. You know, we still try to give the artist free rein to be creative. But at the end of the day, what we hope is to create murals that kind of tell a story about the neighborhood. So maybe it encompasses some history. I mean, if you know D.C., I mean, you've been there recently. If you've been there recently, you know it's changed a lot.
Yes, it has.
So the murals are a good way to give us a chance to sort of remind people about the history of the city and you know, what was important and the people who were important to the city.
Awesome. And are you guys funded by grants, or are you guys funded by government funds?
So the funding is from our agency. The D.C. Council earmarks funds for the Department of Public Works to utilize each year for the program, and we spend $100,000 on the program each year. So it is a D.C. government-funded program, and we actually transfer the funding to the Commission on Arts, and they provide them in the form of grants to artists. And we like working with the Commission on Arts because they have a good knowledge of the art community. They do a lot of art projects. You know, they have a lot of expertise in that area. And so working together with them is a good partnership with us.
Awesome. So how does artists or muralists get in connection with you guys? Do they have to fill out some paperwork, or can they just come and show you guys, you know, a design they have created? And if you guys are feeling it, you either say yes or no. How does that typically go?
So it's a process. If you're an artist interested in working with the city or getting grants from the city, I always direct people to the Commission on Arts, the D.C. Commission on Arts and Humanities website. If you sign up for their electronic messages and alerts, you'll be notified when there's funding opportunities for artists. So the Murals D.C. project typically does a call for artists in the beginning of the year, sometime between February and March, and artists have to apply. And then once they apply, if they're accepted, then there's a process that they have to go through in order to be able to receive money from the city. So there's a process called clean hands. You can't owe the city any money. You have to, you know, it's not a very lengthy process, but you do have to submit some information that has to be verified, and you know, it takes a couple of weeks. And at that point, you're in the system.
Awesome. And do you have to be someone who's a resident of the District of Columbia? Could you be living in, you know, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, anything of that nature?
No. Our artists are from all over. Most of the artists are from D.C. They're typically local. We like to work with local artists as much as possible. But again, if you know anything about D.C. and the change in the city, it's not the most economical city to live in. So if you are an artist, it may not be the best place for you to be. So we work with a lot of artists who may have originally been from the D.C. area and you know, went to other places. Artists typically go where the opportunities are. But, you know, this year we're working with artists from the West Coast. We've got an artist who is from Arizona. We've got an artist that we're working with from Washington State. We've got an artist who is from Spain. So we have artists from all over, but most of our artists, typically half of the artists that we work with each year, usually are local.
That's amazing. I did not know that. So that is huge. And that was a great point when you said is, you know, it's really not economical feasible to actually live in the city. So that is true.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because
gentrification
people
is real.
Sometimes, well, how come all your artists aren't from D.C.? It's like, have you ever tried to live in D.C.?
Yes. Gentrification
not an affordable
is
place
real.
To live.
Definitely. And then also, are you an artist yourself?
Not really. I mean, there have been times when I have taken up painting. But I'm a big admirer of art. I've always been, you know, someone who really appreciates art. I like collecting art. And I, you know, I feel like I have an artist spirit, but,
awesome.
I consider an artist somebody who, gets paid to
do what they love to do,
to produce their art. And, you know, you certainly don't have to be, you don't have to be someone who's a professional to be an artist, but to me, that's my definition for me.
No, I agree with you. And it's someone who, you know, is doing something that they love to do, definitely. And, you know, it's right. always good to have someone who just has an eye for art who can help you. Like, yo, maybe you should put that a little, you know, darker, or you should go lighter on this side. So I definitely understand what you're saying. You know, someone who's just has an eye for art. That's cool. But also when it comes to the locations of the mural. So, okay, you said it's not a long process, but a short process that someone would have to do to actually become an artist, right? But when it comes to the location, are you guys assigning them the location, or when they're filling out the paperwork, they're actually, you know, designating what area they want to paint in?
Well, while we're looking for artists, we're also looking for wall donations. So typically that's a year-round process. I'm always open for wall donations. I'm always checking out possible sites. That's really the hardest part of the program, is to actually secure a wall. Even if the wall is tagged, it's very difficult sometimes to track down the owner. And then once you do, it's not very easy to get them to actually want to work with the city. So we spend a lot of time throughout the year trying to find locations. And, you know, once we have a location and we have the artist, we typically, a lot of times what we'll do is we may come to the property owner and give them our portfolio of artists for that year and allow them to pick an artist that they feel, whose style they feel they best identify with, or who they feel may best be able to express the ideas that they have. And so that's sort of how, mostly that's how an artist gets put on a wall. Sometimes we may select an artist who we see is really good with large-scale projects. They have a lot of experience working with, maybe multiple story buildings. And so we know if we have a tall building, we'll put that artist on that wall, matching them based on what we see their skill level is.
That is amazing. But how long do a mural typically last? So, you know, if you allow an artist to go and be creative with the space, how long do you guys allow their art to be on a mural?
Well,
to be on a space,
you know, the property owner can keep the mural up for as long as they would like. I mean, we have murals that we painted 10 years ago that are still standing.
Awesome.
So the only requirement is that we ask for the owner to keep it up for at least 1 year. But for the most part, people don't typically paint over the murals. What tends to happen in a gentrifying city is that development takes over. And so you may have a building that gets erected right next to, the wall of where a mural was located. So it hides the mural, or the building gets torn down. So typically the mural only is removed usually once the owner vacates, and if the new property owner, you know, decides to go in a different direction in terms of renovation work. And not always the case. Like there's a mural that we have that is one of our larger murals, and it's a great mural. It's kind of interesting. It's very unique. It sort of features it does feature three kids who look like they're sort of playing, like they're trying to sneak up on people who are passing by, the way the mural is designed. And that building was sold, and the new occupants, they've been refabbing that building for the past few months. And it's very obvious that they're trying the best that they can to preserve the mural. So, you know, it's just a really cool mural, and a lot of developers are really into having those types of original designs on their building because it does provide a different and added value to that property.
Definitely. And by you saying, you know, try to preserve the mural, and excuse me if I'm ignorant, but I'm not sure the answer to this question. So when someone is redoing a wall, do they like paint it all white again? Is it something that removes the paint, or do they literally physically just paint right over top of it?
So when you say someone, you're talking about when a property owner moves in and they're removing a mural, or when an artist is painting over another mural?
Yes. Well, that's pretty much what I'm asking. So let's just say, you know, a property manager is looking for something different. So do they remove the paint? Do they paint it white? Or does the next person just come and repaint right on top of it?
Yeah. Well, typically mostly when the murals have been removed, it's because the building was removed. Okay. Or because the wall was covered by a new building. It's very rare that someone, even in the case where the building changed hands, it's not very often that they'll paint the building white, or they'll paint over the mural. They typically keep it there, or occasionally they'll change it. We have one mural that was done probably about 8 years ago, and they painted over that mural with a mural of Muhammad Ali. But in most cases, the mural pretty much stays intact until it starts looking bad, in which case we try to go in and approach the property owner and say, hey, would you like a new mural?
That's a good one. I didn't know that. And I thank you for answering that question. Also, mm-hmm. So let's say there is a new property manager that comes and say, I am asking distinctively for this artist to come do my mural on my property now. Does the property manager fund that project, or do you guys still fund the project because they called you guys to send an artist over?
So and I just want to make sure that I'm answering your question correctly. So when someone asks for a specific artist, it would have to be an artist that is working with Murals DC that year.
Okay.
A lot of times people will call us and they have their own artist in mind who has nothing to do with Murals DC. We're not the program for them. That person could possibly find some sort of other grant funds, maybe within the Commission on Arts, that will provide, or other agencies. There are other agencies that will provide grants for people who want murals and have their own artists. With Murals DC, you have to choose. You basically just provide your wall, and we provide the artist.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense, because that was one of the questions that I really wanted to ask you guys today. And then also, how are you guys marketing to a particular audience? How are you keeping, you know, the city, the people in the city, the communities around the different murals that we see, engaged with what you guys are doing over there in Murals DC?
Well, we utilize social media. I mean, like everyone else, we try the best we can to use Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to keep people engaged. And, typically when we're putting up a mural is when we have the most amount of followers. We're not doing terribly well on Twitter, but we're not doing horribly. I think we just passed 1,000 followers, I guess, about a month ago.
That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our Twitter feed really has only been active, or we reactivated about a year ago. Instagram, I think, probably has, I think Instagram may have over 1,000. I think we may have more people on Instagram. With Instagram, we do a lot of behind-the-scenes photos, so it's not just a photo of the mural. It may be photos of the mural in development, and a lot of people find that sort of engaging. We'll try to put up videos of the artist talking about their project and videos of the work that they're doing. When we unveiled our first mural this year, which we unveiled in June, it was on the sidewall of Ben's Chili Bowl, and we actually did a time lapse of that work in development. So we have that posted on our website as well, and we also shoot it out to our through our social media outlets. So we try to give people stuff, you know, food for thought, and you know, things that sort of keep them engaged. And when we're doing projects like we are going to pretty soon we're going to be sending out a release of the final locations and artists that we'll be working with for the rest of the season. So, you know, every few months we kind of have something that we try to send out to folks and let them know that we're, you know, we're still around and we've got a mural coming up and try to drive traffic to that site. People seem to like to watch a mural in development. It's kind of an interesting process, especially if it's a large mural. It's interesting to sort of see the different type of equipment that is utilized when installing the mural and just seeing the artists at work.
I'm with it. I'm definitely with it. But how do you guys stay engaged in the community? Do you guys do any community projects? Do you guys have any community activities for the people?
Oh, in terms of the community. Well, not really. You know, Murals DC is a program, technically, when you think of everything that goes into it and all of the effort and all of the work that we can be putting into it. It's like it could be a full-time job program. But unfortunately, it's one of many things that I have to do. It's just, it's one task of many. So while I'm coordinating the installation of a mural and maybe planning an unveiling, I'm also planning a press conference for something totally different. And I'm also doing the newsletter for the employee newsletter. And I'm also, you know, pitching a story to a reporter about something totally different and working on a number of other projects. So unfortunately, whereas we would love to do a lot more to sort of get the community engaged. I mean, there was a time when we sort of worked with a consultant who would do bike tours and walking tours and
awesome.
You know, we tried and we would work with, they'd work with youth and have like graffiti art workshops and things like that.
Awesome.
But, you know, we're just kind of like, you know, on our own, just trying to, you know, run it as part of all the many things that we do. So, you know, I would like to once again see, tours, you know,
because I definitely will sign up myself.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, I mean, in Philadelphia has, you know, a great mural program.
Ton.
And it is a full program, but it's a multi-million dollar program. And they have, you know, regular trolleys that run and provide tours. And, you know, they have all kinds of partnerships with corporations and things like that. So they get to do a lot of community engagement and education. And they've got an education mm-hmm. program and all kinds of things. And I would love for us to get there one day. You know, at this point, you know, it just hasn't, it's moving in that direction slowly, but it just hasn't gotten there yet.
You're definitely going to get there. You're definitely going to get there, because I know a lot of people are tuned in right now to hear you speak and to talk about what's going on with Murals DC, because you guys are making a huge impact. Whether you guys know it or not, you are making a huge impact, because you guys are about to put up the Vance mural. You guys are going to put up the Dick Gregory mural. And I think that those are two huge murals that's going to, you know, definitely stand out in the city of DC. So that's huge. So that's really, really
right.
Huge.
Well, Dick Gregory was a part of the last mural that we did on the side of Ben's Chili Bowl. It was it's about 15 different people on that wall, including Dick Gregory, Muhammad Ali, and Dave Chappelle, and mm-hmm. Prince, and a whole host of people. Most of the folks are people who have had a connection to DC. Most of them are from DC,
mm-hmm.
But you know, a lot of them are just people who are who greatly influence Washingtonians.
Yes,
but,
I cannot,
you know,
wait to get down there.
We certainly encourage people to visit the website. It's muralsdcproject.com. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, if folks have suggestions for things that we can do to be more, to get the community more engaged in what we're doing, we're certainly open to those suggestions.
Definitely. And this is my personal question. I want to know, is Jim Vance on that one too? That's on Ben's.
So right. Jim Vance is on that.
Okay,
I thought
cool.
I heard you say Jim Vance. I thought I heard Vance. I wasn't really sure, but yeah. So he's on that mural as well. It's, Harriet Tubman, Roberta Flack.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Taraji Henson, Wale.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
Right, yeah. And it was great because when we did the unveiling, we had so many people who were on the wall who were able to come and be there. I mean, it was great to see Dick Gregory there and Jim Vance, especially since we lost both of them. And
exactly.
You know, to see them there and to see that it meant so much to them and to have pictures of them being there. And, you know, Jim Vance just telling a story of how, you know, when he first came to D.C., Ben Chilibol was such a
huge,
you know, he knew it was, an important place. And, you know, it meant so much to people during that time and still now, of course. And so for him to be on the side of that wall, it just seemed to be like full circle for him. Right. And so, you know, it's hard to, you know, it wouldn't occur to me that it would mean that much to people, but it really did, because when you paint someone on the side of a wall, I mean, it's such a tribute. I mean, you're saying to this person, you mean that much to us that we want your image to be something that influences people every single day. Every day when we walk by, we want a reminder that you're here, that you were here. And, you know, that it definitely does that. I mean, most times when I walk past that wall, someone is in that alley looking at it, taking a picture of it.
I cannot wait to see. I haven't been home in about 2 months. I'm coming home this weekend to see my family in D.C., and I'm definitely going to see that. I mean, I just wanted to shout out, too, because you guys also have, like, Donnie Simpson and Russ Parr on there as
well. Right, right, right. How can I forget
that?
They were there as well as Dave Chappelle was there at the opening.
Huge.
And just so many people, Congressman Norton.
Uh-huh.
Eleanor Holmes Norton, Marion Barry.
Marion Barry, exactly. How could I forget
about
him? Yes. That's
right.
Huge. And that's why I was extremely excited to be talking
with
you.
Chuck Brown, of course.
Chuck Brown. Yes, you're feeling me now. That's why we reached out to you guys because, you know, like I was saying, whether you guys know it or not, you guys are making a huge impact in the DC, in the District of Columbia. And that's something that us as millennials, we're geared to that. That's something that we get excited about because these are people that we see every day. And for you guys to put that collab together means a lot because you don't typically see all those people in the same place at the same time, you know, so to know that they all, you know, had a part of the history in D.C. or they came from D.C. and things of that nature is amazing to see. So I appreciate your support and thank you for coming onto the platform today to just, you know, bring that knowledge to us and give us that information that we needed to know about Murals D.C. And how can the people find a little bit more about you guys, your websites and social medias and like that?
Right. So, again, the website is MuralsDCProject.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MuralsDC, and the same thing with our Instagram. And we are MuralsDC, not DC Murals. DC Murals is a separate entity. People always call us DC Murals. DC Murals is an organization that tracks murals. We're an organization that paints murals, so two very different things. But
thank you for that breakdown.
You know, definitely reach out to us and follow us, and thank you for having me on your program.
No doubt. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on and sharing that information with us here today here on Revive, and I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors, and I hope you guys get, you know, those tours and everything back that you're trying to do to help, you know, impact the community down there in D.C. So shout out to you guys and wish you many blessings in your future endeavors. Have a great week.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So that wraps up another great interview we had here on Revive. That absolutely is wrapping up another great show here on Revive, man. I love talking so much. I'd be forgetting what time it is. With that wraps up another great show here on Revive. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the timeline because we were live tweeting and live posting throughout the entire show. Make sure you guys stay tuned to DG Radio every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on DG Radio. That will be the next time we're going live. I am not going to be live this Sunday, PSA, PSA. I am not going to be live this Sunday because I am going home to see my family. But we will be back live this Monday on DG Radio starting at 8 p.m. You do not want to miss it, you guys. We are live 3 days a week now. The Revive team is live 3 days a week now, Mondays on DG Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, Winning Wednesdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Time for an Awakening Radio. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Time for an Awakening Radio as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We got a lot coming down the pipeline, you guys. And I know you guys want to stay in the loop. So subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to that beautiful newsletter that Hominy puts together each and every month. She just dropped the September edition today. So if you didn't get it, that's because you ain't signed up. So go ahead and sign up. Yo, Truart, get a people a shout out. Let the people know how they can find Higher Love Communication.
You all can follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication. And on Twitter, it's Higher Level Com. That's Higher Level COMM. And you do not want to miss what's coming up in the near future. So stay in the loop.
Definitely. And make sure you guys follow Hominy the Goddess on Instagram and Facebook, and then on Twitter with Love Hominy. She was about to kill me earlier. She was like, that's not my Twitter handle. I was like, all right, my bad. What's the Twitter handle? So she wrote me a little sticky note so I wouldn't forget. So the Twitter handle for Hominy is with Love Hominy on Twitter. So make sure you guys follow her on Twitter. She got some dope pictures, man. She's the photographer. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl PLC. We be back live Monday on DG Radio. Follow that timeline so you can stay in the loop.